This is Bayou Rumbie with Gift E.
We're talking about a very special team here.
God, have you let it in? Help!
This is Bayou Rumbie with Gift E.
You say it was just a left to the head and then a right.
I don't understand how, I don't understand why, but all I know is it didn't work. It didn't work.
Here's a chance for the skipper.
The best and only analysis for Louisiana rugby.
Objection! Hearsay!
Look, you can't do that kind of stuff on the field. It ruins the way the game is played.
That was a heck of an effort.
Bayou Rugby. Gift E.
We don't need your education. We don't need your thought control.
Welcome to Bayou Rugby with Gift E. That's me, Gift A. Bailu, if you really need to know. I am here today with the Hunter Guidry on our show. It's going to be a great one today. We have big games this week. High school is going to the championships. We got college. We have club. It's going to be amazing. But you know what? I want to bring it off to my guest co-host today, Hunter. Hunter, how are you doing today?
Doing fine, Gift. Appreciate you having me on the program. Hopefully I could be insightful. If not, maybe entertaining. Who knows?
Hey, you know what? We can only try.
Yes, we'll do our best.
All right, guys. You guys just stay tuned, and we'll be back with more. All right, welcome back, guys. Again, Bayou Rugby with Gift E, Gift A. Bailu, obviously, because you have to know. We're going to go over some of the scores from this past weekend. And there wasn't too many games. Last weekend was an Easter weekend, so people were resting. They were taking time with their family, but not everybody. We had actually two sets of teams playing. We had two for high school and one for club. Starting off right at the
high school level.
Because the semifinals were on Thursday, we did not get a chance to do any predictions for it last week, Friday. But we had two big games. We had Brother Martin facing out against Lake Area. And we had Shaw taking on Jesuit. Now, Brother Martin and Shaw have been power teams. Now, Hunter, I don't know if you know this, but
both teams are great clubs. You know, they have a lot of history and in Baton Rouge and
New Orleans.
Yeah, sorry about that. Look,
we know where
there
to focus.
Yeah, but they have a lot of history and they've both been powerhouse for several years now. It seems like they're always in the finals of every year and just about every tournament they play in. It's usually Brother Martin and Shaw. So. It was good to see both teams come up and do very well, but it looks like they actually dominated both games.
And look, you know, it was Brother Martin and Shaw, number one and number two each of the last 2 years. Now, the one that I wanted to talk about really was Lake Area, and I've talked about this before on this show. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Lake Area is a charter school. It's the first public school to get rugby here in Louisiana, and they just started last year.
That's good.
They're being coached by Nick Conti, and I'd gotten a chance to see them. And they, when I went to go coach, not coach, I'm sorry, to go ref the game for Louisiana Day of Rugby back in March 6th.
I'm sure that was scary for you.
Oh, you know, you're just running, just so much happening. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and if, I don't know if anybody out there has ever roughed a game. It basically, for people like us, you know, when a butterfly flies by and you start staring at it, you realize that maybe ADD is not the best thing to be when you're a coach.
Squirreling I call that squirreling. It doesn't help. I think there was multiple times where I was sitting there and I had actually messed up the rulings on the field, like on lineouts. They're like, oh, they're supposed to be, the player's supposed to be 10 yards. Oh, I thought they were supposed to be 15 meters out. That's not right. Coach is starting to get mad, but it was okay. But, you know, this Lake Area team has actually been a really good team. Very athletic team. very strong, but, you know, discipline-wise, they were still working. Obviously, fundamentals were one of the issues they have, but they're a new team.
Yeah, I mean, you're coming off rugby. If everybody has played, you know, it takes a good couple years to really learn the sport. You know,
exactly.
When new guys coming out of high school, they're very eager to learn the sport, and it's great to see them because they have that tenacity on the field.
Exactly.
They're no fear, but the skill level, they're not there. Whereas, you know, Brother Martin and Shaw, both, they have guys.
Established programs. They've been around 10, 13, 10 years, 12 years, something like that.
Exactly.
And so, you know, so it's impressive to see that teams like Lake Area that are just starting, they're already being able to push for, you know, fourth place in the high school leagues, you know, and that shows just the development and coaching and just support that they have. But
yeah. Nick's doing a great job over there. You know, we hope to see good things out of him and keep that program going strong.
Definitely. The score for that Brother Martin game on Thursday, Brother Martin Lake Area game, was a 48-19 win for Brother Martin. Brother Martin started off with three big tries, but it's okay. It's one of those times that sometimes it's just getting to that level is just good enough, and it gives you a chance to be able to see where you're going off into the next year. Next game that they had was Shaw versus Jesuit. This is a rematch of last year's championship game. Jesuit actually ended up beating Shaw last year for the 2012 high school championship. So I know Shaw, and later on we talked to head coach Tim Falcon for Shaw. They definitely had hunger wanting to go into it. I know you've had experience with Tim Falcon before.
Oh, Tim and I are great friends. You know, it's we get along very well. You know, he's been running New Orleans for years, and I've been running Baton Rouge, so we have a real good camaraderie and
rivalry,
I guess you would say. But Tim's a great guy, and he's done amazing things with the Shaw program as well as the actual high school program in New Orleans. So that's one thing that Baton Rouge really is trying to shoot for, is try to get our first Baton Rouge team, high school team, going, and hopefully this summer we'll kind of get it rolling, and then within 2 years, we're hoping to have at least three teams up here.
That would be perfect. So that Shaw game was another kind of blowout. I definitely feel Shaw got their revenge for last year. 49-0 win for Shaw. And again, them heading over to the championship game tomorrow will be indicative to see if they can get their first championship for their club history.
Yeah, we really wish them luck on that one too. But Shaw really, this year, they had some guys come back from last year, you know, so they're really strong. And of course, you know, Jesuit lost a bunch of seniors last year, so I think their program's going to keep going forward, you know, hopefully be back in the championship round pretty soon as well.
Yeah, definitely. We didn't have anything in college because everybody got to go home. They were on spring break,
yeah,
so
lucky guys. I'll sit on the beach in Florida.
Right,
yeah.
You know, just enjoying. Ungrateful. No, we actually were able to move into club, and Baton Rouge went up to Arkansas this past weekend. Well, sort of, kind of.
Yeah.
We went up with six guys. it was a very interesting match, but luckily, you know, the Little Rock team was very, very gracious. They were great. They hosted us really, really well, and they were just grateful for the few guys that managed to get in so they can get some of their guys' experience going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I might take a little bit of blame on that one because it was Easter weekend. We did switch weekends with Little Rock. They actually came down for Mardi Gras weekend,
right,
and played us, and so we switched to where we had to go up to Little Rock on Easter weekend. And, you know, it just kind of disappointing to travel so light. We had a few more guys were supposed to go, but Saturday morning, once we realized we only had six guys, and I mean an additional maybe five that were going to go, that they decided not to travel. And it was a shame having to have a forfeit, but it is what it is sometimes. You know, this year, I mean, I hate to pull that old, you know, rebuilding year for Baton Rouge.
But it's a rebuilding year, you know. You have a transitional time, you know.
Yeah, so we're looking towards next year already, and, you know, that game was a disappointment, but we're traveling to Jackson this weekend.
Yeah, we're traveling to Jackson. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the show progresses, as well as a little bit about Baton Rouge, and get a chance to talk. But next up, we were able to talk to ULL head coach Boyd Lejeune. They're heading out to Mobile to play in the Deep South Conference tournament, qualifying tournaments. It'll be a real good interview.
Yeah.
Boyd's great coach, and you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. We got a chance to talk to ULL head coach Boyd Lejeune. ULL is heading into the qualifying games against Tulane in Mobile for the Deep South Conference. This is what we got a chance to talk about. Hunter, you know, you have a little bit of information on Boyd. What do you...
Well, Boyd's a great guy. I've been played rugby with him for years. Weird man. Very weird. Kind of funny looking. But he's turned out to be a great coach for ULL.
Yeah, he's been really good.
And so very excited for him. You know, I really hope they do well against Tulane. And I think they got a good shot at this one.
Yeah, I do too. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Here is Boyd. And take a listen.
All right, I'm here with head coach Boyd Lejeune of ULL Rugby. Boyd, thank you for coming to the show today.
Thank you. No worries. How you doing?
I appreciate it. Just first off, just to get a start, what is ULL Rugby?
Well, it's a program that had a history back in the 80s, I believe. They had a very prominent history of success, of going into the big boys when I guess nobody really figured they would. But it wasn't really a formal program at that time. Then it got a little bit stronger with the addition of a Welsh coach that came down. He brought in some talent from overseas, and they came in, they made it into a strong, especially in sevens. They became a pretty prominent sevens program. And I was able to come in after a very good coach out of New Orleans named Jim Genthon. And we again took that same philosophy, that same attitude of you might not be the biggest, might not be the most athletic squad out there, but you play with so much heart. You learn from your mistakes, and you make things happen when maybe – people didn't think you could, and just trying to keep up that same attitude, that same spirit, and that same belief that we've had as a reputation here at UL.
Oh, excellent. Now, how long have you been a part of UL Rugby?
As a player, as a coach, as a coach, I've been here around 7 years, I believe.
Okay. And as a player?
I think I only had 1 year as a player. I found out, unfortunately, at the end of my career, and didn't really get to experience the full tilt of what I was getting into. And then I was able to take that playing experience and play it here and there. But I really wish I could have experienced the full 4 years with that Welsh coach. We've become great friends, and he's a mentor of mine. We've traveled around, and every time he comes back into Louisiana, we're just hanging out watching games like we're old buddies. So, I have to say my total career, most of my time is spent as a coach.
Okay. Now, how have you felt with ULL, with the not the biggest, not the fastest, the gritty man, the fighter mentality? How have you felt ULL has progressed since you started coaching for them?
Well, we've always had that in us. And the things I'm trying to teach them is... When in business, when you get out of school, you'll learn things like about DuPont-Bradley curve, all these little technical things about interdependence and how you take a team and they should get to a point where I'm not needed. I bring in the plan, I develop those players, but when it comes to the field, you can't play the game for those boys. You have to have some kind of fire in their belly, and that's something you got to bring in. You got to bring those kind of guys in prior to that. And you show them what needs to be done. You teach them how to adapt once they're in the field. And that spirit, that fire spirit, if they have it in them, and you continually bring in that kind of mentality and practices, very physical, very team-oriented kind of practices, and you break them down after and say what we did right, what we did wrong, how we plan for this later. When you bring that whole thing in, I don't have to do as much work as I used to when I first came into coaching. Slowly, those kids develop that talent, that ability, if you're doing it right at practice. So it's not as much. It's not going to be me doing everything. The best program I can have is where they're guided, they're taught, and they develop as proper young Cajuns should develop, and they become that team that can do it on their own. at the end of the day.
Oh, that's excellent. That's awesome. And is this how you guys have been able to recruit so well for your team? I know you guys have brought out a lot of players. At Baton Rouge, we get a lot of your guys' players, and they're excellent. Is this what you guys focus it to be able to bring new players in?
Well, you have your lean years. I've found these past 2 years have been pretty hard to recruit. With the economy the way it is, a lot of New Orleans talent is either staying in New Orleans or maybe they're not going immediately to college. So I've been hurting a little bit the last years. This last year, we got in a great freshman crop with little to no rugby experience, but they're men. They're the right kind of kids I need. I got a couple of wrestlers, which I'm sure in your experience, you know, those are wrestlers.
Yeah.
They got the right mentality for this game. Not football players. I never could keep my football players. I have an interesting story about that as well. But wrestlers, I hate to say it, even sometimes those soccer players, because they know how to kick a ball. Some of these guys can take it a little bit better. And I got in a couple of kids like that. I was lucky enough to get in a really talented young man from one of those Houston programs, high school programs,
mm-hmm.
St. Thomas, actually. So I've got a couple of good kids, but it didn't happen on our first game. We faced Tulane. The run-up into that game was sort of mixed because I was offshore at that point. It was a new job for me, and I couldn't make it as much. So the development of the team and that attitude, we hadn't seen it for about a year and a half. The kids just didn't have it. They didn't have that switch to turn on. Game didn't go as well as it should have. I think we lost by like 19 or something. And coming back, we sat down with the leadership and we told them exactly, you know, it's not there, but we're not going to go and just give up. This isn't a lost season. Still a long time. What did we do right? And we really, really worked on focusing on our strengths and looking at where we were weakest at, breaking that down and just pounding the practice. To the point where it wasn't just, I don't believe in just drills. I believe in, like, activities and taking those activities and making them into an opportunity to learn something else and develop from that. But we have to be physical because that was the thing we were lacking the most.
Right.
Then something happened in that next face-up against Tulane. The very next game we faced them, I lost my senior captain. I lost another senior in the first 5-10 minutes of the match. And at that time, those kids could have easily broke. And that they finally found the switch. And it had been a long time coming. They found the switch, and they were very brutal the rest of the game. And since then, I haven't looked back yet. I've had more talented teams, just sheer athletic ability. I've never had a team that played like a team like this one is playing currently.
That is excellent. And that's awesome. So, who are some key players that you felt from this team that have helped lead the way to ULL's success this season?
I have to really put that on Joe Rolfe, Renee Lowe, Jacob Pelche, Corey Albert. These are senior guys that, I mean, really my main guys that I have to get to understand that I can't play the game for you. You can't be upset with a kid that just doesn't know the game. We have to find a way around those obstacles and just be absolutely team-oriented, not just stuff about saying that's your brother. We have to be there and actually mean that. And we do, and I can gladly say 7 years I've been here, and about 6.5, because I had a little patch last year that they just didn't believe we were a team. And it showed in our games. But for 6.5 years, when we say that word, when we say family, we absolutely mean it. And that's so powerful. You see it when that young man went down with that horrible leg injury with Louisville. Those guys, it really meant something to them. And when you break down emotionally like that, you really care for each other. That's what my guys are doing right now. When something goes wrong, it's not to point and say this and that. We're trying to break it down and possibly find a way to not see that happen again. So if it's a threat, if it's a weakness that we have, we improve it. It's an opportunity for it to be a strength the way we're looking at it. So those seniors, they took this interdependence and they've made it a reality with this squad. Those are guys I put it on. And I've got a couple of key freshmen too. I have my whole front row, like O'Brien and Ned. I've got a brilliant flanker slash prop slash hooker slash second row.
Super utility.
Everywhere. And I just found him this year. And it's his last year of eligibility. So that's driving me nuts. But I've got kids like that peppered throughout the squad that are just making things happen. I'm very proud of them.
Oh, no, that's really good. That's excellent. So going into this weekend, you guys have already been mentally preparing for this, especially against a Tulane team that you guys have played twice already. How do you guys go about it getting ready for this next game?
This one's the challenge because we are currently on spring break. So we will not have a practice to run up to this game. So I think it's going to be more of a challenge than we've ever had to face before. We're going to have a walkthrough on Friday night, but that's going to be the first time I've seen these kids for about a week and a half. So it's going to be a big one if we can overcome that. And with two games in one day, I don't know. There's not much we can do to prepare. We face these guys. This will be the third time.
Mm-hmm.
And without having the kids to really go over a new game plan, we'll see exactly how it goes on that walkthrough. Because as of right now, I can't even really make a good roster until I see what I have, who's been taking care of themselves over this past week. I know I can count on my seniors.
Mm-hmm.
It's the younger crowd that I got to see if they really got it in them.
Now, I know the magnitude of this game being in Mobile would be less affecting on, I guess, the seniors. You guys made it there back in 2011, correct? So how do you feel you can contain it a little bit for the younger guys, especially since you guys have so many of them?
That's just a maturity thing. There's when you deal with things, concepts like weaknesses and threats, one's an internal thing that you can have total control over and you could fix. One is external. Well, right now, for me as a coach to plan for this, a threat is, you know, how mature those kids are. I have no control over that part. So I'm hoping internally they're seeing this as a part of a season they can make happen, and we can try and maybe attain an at-large bid to continue our playoff run. But we'll see. And if we don't do it, if they don't take this lesson and learn from it, and maybe they come in a little bit underprepared, we're going to take that and just work on that so that it doesn't happen again, or if we experience again, they can come back from their history, their lesson learned, and bring that down to the next little batch of cages I'm going to get. It fell on the wrong time, spring break for us, but it is what it is, and you got to adapt if you're going to make it.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, taking from what you guys have done this season, and a 5-1 season for you guys is incredible, considering that your only loss is to the same people that you're about to play, what do you think you guys can build on from this for next year, for the 2014 season?
Well, the fact I'm going to be losing a couple of key guys, it's what I want to instill in them is there's opportunities all around the squad for somebody to step up and take a spot and make it their own for the next 4 years, 3 years, whatever. Big part is that we came together as a team. Another big part is they found that switch, that brutal switch. I've never, ever had a squad that plays dirty. I cannot stand that. I think that's a bad reputation in rugby with some squads that have less ability. I do not like that as a coach. So I tell my kid, we will never play dirty as long as you've got a Cajun jersey on, but we gonna play mean.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids, they're playing mean right now. They are playing very brutal, and after they'll shake the hand and everything. But on that field, they got this switch. We have axe tackles, which means you tackle low. You don't get up high. And when they're fit and they're ready to go, you're just seeing them axe left and right, left and right. That's something I can do it in practice, but be a man and step on a field and do it, it's a totally different animal, as you probably know.
Yeah.
So takes mentality to do that. So that and taking these ways of planning, taking lessons learned and developing that into your plan for your next match, these are all the things I hope that we bring in for next year.
Oh, no, that's excellent. Just kind of get some brief ideas about who you guys play. Who are some of the main rivals that you guys play at ULL?
Well, this year we've had Western Florida, Tulane, I would consider our main adversaries for this year. But we had a year in the SEC. We did very, very well. Made playoffs there. For a long time, when the Deep South was the old Deep South before it broke into this SSC and all the football conferences, Alabama was a main rival of ours that we had a very, very positive record against. Back in the day, Furman. These teams that would go into these championships, I was glad to say that they were our rivals. LSU is the big boy on the table. We haven't reached that mountain yet. They're a very well-coached, very talented squad of young men. And it looks like they got another good chance to make the playoffs again this year. But that's the main guys that UL will always hope to contend with and have positive outcomes from.
Were some of the goals, whenever you started coaching, to get into that, I guess, big boy level, considering all the teams that you have here in Louisiana, I guess, what were the goals that you had going into the coaching for the long term for ULL?
That's always the thing. You want your alma mater to be taught along with the other big names, the Cals and everything. And it's possible. Look at what Arkansas State has done. I mean, if a school in a Sun Belt conference like ours can make it happen, look at Arkansas State for your answer. So I want my guys to be on that level. I want them to experience rugby in another country, which we have a connection in New Zealand that some of my guys have gone out to play. I want them to experience that before, you know, all the responsibilities of life comes in, children and a family and all this. I want them to see that level of rugby. I want them to travel. I want UL to be spoken in a very honorable, proud sense with the other big boys that are out there. I want to win, but I want them to develop as young men more than us just running through this competition or that competition. That I think would mean way more to me as far as a program developing than anything else. If at the end of the day, the other side, their parents, everybody can shake each other's hand and say, you know what, this was a good 4 years for me. And we're successful in the scheme of things, that's great. But to develop that group of men, I think that's my goal I want to reach the most.
Oh, no, that's excellent. I think that's always the goal that should always be the goal for any players. You know, they always call this a hooligans game played by gentlemen, and it's perceived that way, especially within the culture.
Yep.
Any final words that, before we have to let you go, any final words that you want to say about ULL rugby that you'd like the general audience to know?
Well, when you come see a game, you're going to be welcomed. These guys are given a lot of their time. We're trying to maintain a high level of academic responsibility to our kids. But these guys are given their time to come out here, and it's a very physical time at practice in these games, and they're trusting each other. They're developing as young men. I want the public to know that these guys are just a brilliant group of men, alumni as well. And when you leave the game with a Cajun player, you're going to know you had a game.
Excellent.
At the end of the day, you're going to know you had a game.
Excellent. And where can we find? Where can they find information about the team?
We have a website, RagingCajunRugby.com. We have it updated as much as possible. The playoff system, we are still waiting to see if we could pull this off this week with the tournament. The at-large bid we're going to fill out. Don't know if we're going to get it. I don't know if our conference is strong enough. But we're going to fill out the paperwork and see what happens. And then we'll have that listed. If we everything rolls this way.
Oh, excellent. Boyd, thank you very, very much for coming on to the show. It's great talking to you, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to you again.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Welcome back. That was a great interview. Thank you, Boyd, for taking the time to be able to do that interview. Now, we have a chance to be able to talk directly with one of the longer-running veterans for Baton Rouge Rugby, Hunter, obviously. Hunter, you know, so tell us a little bit about what was your experience? How did you get into rugby to begin with?
Actually, I'm one of those kind of anomalies where I was sitting in a bar one night, and I ran into Rob Miller, of all people, and a lot of people, you know him, and I'm sure he's offended you or hit on your wife or something like that in many of your lives, but he told me about this rugby team, and I'd wanted to play at LSU. I'd went to LSU, but I never played. I always had some kind of confliction with rugby practice, so I met Rob at the bar, and he told me about the Baton Rouge Men's Club, and I said, well, I'll give it a try. So I showed up on Tuesday, and that was 15 years ago.
Boy, how does the time fly by?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. But I was 27 when I started playing, so I was already kind of old in the rugby sense, you know, compared to some of these high school kids now. But now, you know, I'm a little older. I'm 41 and then still playing kind of on the A side. just when Baton Rouge needs me. But I'm really focusing right now on getting Baton Rouge Old Boys team going. And then, of course, trying to get their high school program going. So
get work the administrative side, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to step back from the field so that you can actually work on the expansion on that part.
Yeah, exactly. And I wish I could quit playing rugby. But, I mean, you know.
Once it gets in the system.
It is in your system.
It's crack.
It is. Honestly, they should have some kind of rehab center for rugby players to be able to kind of wean off of it or
they
something.
They do. It's called death.
Oh, God. Yeah. Death or marriage in some
cases. There you go.
Case,
in some cases.
And of course, not for me because, you know, I'll be getting married soon.
Yeah, you will.
Young lady.
Beautiful Tiffany Goodyear.
Yeah, great lady. She loves rugby, and she likes me playing. She's talked to me a couple times about maybe time to
easing
retire.
Back.
Yeah, but, you know, I'll never be able to. You know, it's such a great sport, and being part of it, I fell in love with it, you know, from the get-go. I mean, my first year, I became the social chairman of the club, and, you know, many people know that I'm a mediocre rugby player, but
bloody good partier.
You know, I can out-party most of them, still to this day, so it feels good about that, you know. But I tell you what, the game of rugby has given a lot to me, and I try to give back. I've held every position on the men's club for Baton Rouge, and of course, you know, it's like herding cats with rugby players.
Yeah,
you have a lot of great personalities, a bunch of alpha males, and you put them all together, man. And it's an explosion. You know, you just want to put fire hose on it, you know, try to calm it down, but. It's such a great sport, you know, and I'm really looking forward to many years of playing, but, you know, we'll see when the body gives out, and hopefully that's when, you know.
Hey, look, you know what? As we hopefully build these high school teams, maybe you start maybe shifting into that coaching phase.
Oh, I'd be a terrible, terrible coach. I've thought about coaching, you know, and I just don't see myself being a good coach because guys that have played with me or practiced with me, I don't take it serious enough, you know, and it's rugby's fun for me, you know. This is a great sport, and, you know, it's bad when you get hit so hard and you're just laughing hysterically.
And it's not laughing because it was fun. It's just that's how you get through the pain
of it. Yeah, that's the only way to brighten it. But, no, maybe one day I might become a coach for a high school team. Anything to kind of help to promote the sport in Louisiana and in Baton Rouge and, you know, and help it along.
Hey, look, even if at the minimum you get to be the social chair for the high school team, you teach them how to party like ruggers.
Oh, and I tell you what, I would love that because that's one of the disappointing things, the trend I'm seeing now, especially, you know, college. And it's a lot of the university faults. They don't let the college rugby teams be college rugby teams.
Yeah.
You know? They cut out the drinking. Anybody get caught in drinking, they're off the team. They may get kicked out of university. You know, it's just a different world we live in. And I hate to pull that old when I started playing rugby, you know.
Well, look.
And that was right at the tail end of kind of the where rugby was rugby. I mean, you could boot people on the field, you know. And now you can't do it because it's, you know, people don't know how to give the boot and stuff. And that's been one of the most disappointing things because I used to love when I get my little boot marks.
Yeah. What? What? Yeah, this is my badge of honor,
exactly,
right there.
I used to love that, but I've seen the trend of rugby. You know, it's really focusing on the actual sport and playing level, winning a national championship. That's what everybody's focused about, and that's cool and all. But we got to remember our roots, man. I mean, it's about the social aspect. It's about hanging out with the players, the other team at the end of the game, not just going home. You stay there and you have a beer with them, you know, have some food with them, talk about rugby. You don't go in a little corner like a lot of the rugby crews, you know, and they sit in their little pocket booth over there in the end, their booth together talking and stuff. You got to get the guy that you played against, and hopefully you punched him and he punched you, and you grab him and you do a shot, you drink a beer.
And hey, you sing some songs, grab each other and be like, hey, well, that sounded wrong. Grab each other, hug each other. And no. Then, you know, it's but it continues that, you know, that process of camaraderie. And yeah. I know for me, you know, obviously rugby, I got into rugby, you know, later than I would have preferred. I had it over at USF, but I never played because I wouldn't want to do football. But, yeah. You know, thank God that the Las Vegas Sevens were on that one random day. I turned on the TV and I was like, I've seen this. I'm sure I can do this. So, yeah. You know, the athletic side of it was what kept me, you know, that what brought me in. But the culture of rugby is what kept me. You know, I'll always take competition. Like, I'll love great competition, and that's one of the things that have made this more, even more worthwhile for me. You know, for those of us that weren't able to play football at the college level, and obviously not playing at the pro level, we were able to have this outlet where it's like, it's almost like a second chance. I know for me, it's always felt like it's a second opportunity to be able to play for something real, play for something that is different, and even more importantly, being able to get out of the state and go to different places. But, you know, taking it even one step further, that rugby culture is what makes it just seal it all together in the end.
And being part of a team, I mean, that's the biggest thing. You know, you have teammates, you have brothers, you know, and I tell people, rugby is the closest you come to being in a war, being in the military, because you bleed on that field with these guys. Yeah, they are your brothers, you know.
So. And they tell you to suck it up whenever.
Yeah, and they'll call you the old P word if you need it, you deserved it or whatever, you know, but... Yeah. But anyway, I really enjoyed everything I've learned in rugby on and off the field. You know, of course, the leadership role, I would much rather not have to do it.
You know what? Sometimes, I've heard it over and over again. Sometimes the best leaders at this point are the ones that didn't have a choice but to be
kind of
force your way into it. It is.
Well, I think that's every officer of every rugby club. Someone has to step up
in some way, somehow,
and do it. You know, nobody wants to be the president. My God, you know. So, but it's been great. You know, I just look forward to many more years, and I've been really enjoying the old boys aspect. You know, I've been playing about 3 years. I started off playing with the Battleship old boys, the Bobs. You know, great bunch of guys. You know, and that's the first old boys team I played with. And I played with New Orleans a little bit. You know, invited to a couple tours, and I look forward to doing a couple international tours with old boys.
This is where I know after I finished with school, I'm at LSU doing getting my MBA. Like at that point is I want to be able.
That was a good plug.
credibility. Take it in.
Take notes, people.
Take it in. But you know, after I'm done with that, I know one of the things I want to be able to do is be able to go overseas and just do a rugby tour. If not with the team, but just at least individually, just go and just play and just get a different aspect from it. Because you know, I from all the people that have always told me about what happens, how they feel affected once they played overseas with guys who, you know, not offense to U.S. rugby, but these guys have been playing literally all their lives. The way we play football, you know, they play rugby.
Oh, they started 5 years old in other countries, you know.
Kicking it in and, you know, just something about, you know, being able to see different aspects. It's one thing to, you know, hear the theory of it. And, you know, your coaches will tell you, you need to pass the ball here. You need to see this hole. You need to create this. But sometimes you don't see it work in action just because, you know, the way we play is it's a hard-nosed kind of rugby. We pound it.
Yeah.
You know, we're about pounding it. We play in the same mentality we play with kind of football to an extent where, you know, we want to bust it through. We'll bleed. We'll take the hits. You know, screw the finesse. We're just going to grind this thing through. But, you know, overseas, I guess, you know, they've learned to, you know, take in the finesse and purity of it. And, you know, It just looks just so much more fluid.
Yeah.
And so it's be nice to be able to see it and see how it works together.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I tell. I try to promote all the guys. I've been fortunate enough. I've played a lot of social rugby. You know, I've been a part of like 4 or 5 social teams. I mean, the Gypsies, of course. Yeah. Shout out to the Gypsies.
Nice plug.
Lone Star Mercenaries, hey, my Texas buddies, you know, and I play with the Psychedelic Clowns on Acid. I mean, those guys are crazy. But, that aspect of rugby, I really hope that maintains. And it may move to the old boys level, but I think guys love the sport and the social aspect that it's going to stay there. The tournament rugby and traveling with teams and going out there and just having fun with the sport.
Yeah.
As well as playing hard and winning. You know, right. I mean, of course, I love to win, but of course, me and my life philosophy, I'd rather lose at rugby than win at softball, you know, something like
true.
That, or soccer, but,
cut him down, yeah. Cut him down, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Oh, I don't want to offend any guy.
Yeah, it's okay, you'll survive, but you know, one of the things that I felt like with the direction that rugby has been going now more days is that, you know, obviously, it's getting more serious towards the top, and
right.
I, you know, I've said this on the show before, and maybe you get your opinion, and let me get your opinion, and, you know, it's like, if I had it my way, where I could dictate the actions of USA Rugby and how it would go, I would say, you know, it's no longer using the USA Eagles as that top tier. You know, we cut out Super League and make Division One an actual professional league because we have enough teams. There's 37 Division One teams that are in
the
country.
Right.
And it's already top tier play. You use Division Two and use Division Two as like a segue, like a almost like what the mini leagues for baseball.
Yeah.
The farm leagues for baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be Division Two. Exactly. Yeah. Division Two would move to that, and then you have Division Three left at this pure social level where people can have fun and it doesn't get affected by all the nuances because these kids are going to be coming out of college, and college is, you know, naturally going to be the progression where they come from. They're going to come out of college and they end up in Division Two, and they're going to be fit. They're going to be coming hard. Yeah. You know, they're going to play more seriously. Obviously, there's going to be the social aspect as far as camaraderie within the teams. But, you know, we're still able to at least keep and remember that social place where you have old boys play. You have the guys that are not necessarily as athletic to be able to play,
right?
You know, Division Two or Division One rugby. Mm-hmm. You know, they can still have fun. They still have the competitive edge. In the end, everybody gets to have fun, drink and stuff. And it doesn't have to feel like you have this pressure on you to, you know, do everything.
Right.
You
know? Well, and I do agree with you. I like your idea of what to do with USA Rugby. I mean, of course, my little perfect world I live in, you know, that I wish I lived in. Yeah.
The euphoric world. Yeah. What do they call that? My vocabulary is out.
Oh,
it's
okay. we've got enough concussions. And
hey, you know, things just go. They come and go.
But actually, I would love to see USA Rugby divide into an East Coast, West Coast, have two USA teams. And then it could compete together. That way they don't have such a huge, you know, territory that they're drawing guys from and stuff. Two sides, they play each other. Whatever team wins gets to move on and play. But, you know, that's my perfect world. But then, of course, you know, I would like to see a D1 more competitive, more semi-pro. But the problem is there's such a huge gap between D1, D2, and D3. I mean, the D1 teams are phenomenal. We play them in D2, get our butts kicked.
Right.
And then D2, you know, you're good. Like Baton Rouge, we've always been a good D2 club. You know, we compete. We've done well. We made it Sweet 16s. You know, it's just problematic where every year is a little different, you know, and not having our high school program, I mean, of course.
It starts to affect, and I know one of the effects that's been for Baton Rouge has been, you know, the core guys, you know, you and, you know, a lot of the guys that came out of LSU from that 2003, 2000, you know, kind of season, you guys are starting to move up to the next level in adulthood, not maturity, just adulthood.
That was a really sweet way of saying we're getting old, man. I really appreciate that. I mean, you could have called us old, and I'd be like, "Yeah, that's true." But
you know, I like to patronize a little bit. You know,
I'm not sure if I should hug you or punch you. I mean,
yeah, it's You take it either way. I could understand, but either direction of it. Yeah, but you know, you guys are starting to have kids. You guys are getting married. Moving on to the next level. And so, whenever the core guys have been doing so much for the team for so long, whether you guys were in the Texas leagues and dominating at your high points there, or coming over to the deep south and being able to, make pushes, be able to be a competitive team.
Right.
It's now being able to revolve that and kind of bring that outside of just recruiting, random guys. I know for me, when it came, they talk about USA Rugby and what they do at the pro level of the Eagles, and they bring all these athletes in that have no experience playing rugby. Like, they were talking about Maurice Claret doing it a couple weeks ago.
Right, right.
And it's like, dude, just because you have athletic ability does not equate to being able to play rugby. But, having that here, it's worked for so long, but eventually start to dissipate. Like, we have these lean seasons, as some may call it.
Well, and you see that with USA Rugby, kind of going back to that. We're a pretty good sevens team. I mean, USA, we are. But it's so hard to compete with other teams. We just can't bring it over the edge because we don't have those guys that have been playing for 15 years, 20 years, and they're 25. I mean, God, these guys are awesome in the upper levels, from New Zealand and Australia, South Africa, England. I mean, these guys are phenomenal, but they have been playing for years. We're bringing athletes, which we have a
plethora of athletes
in the USA, but the problem is they don't have the skill set. And that worries me, with the upcoming Olympics. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about Olympics having rugby for the first time since 1929.
Yeah, it's like 1929. So USA, best of the only three teams that played rugby. Yeah.
3 years, three years. We won two of the gold medals. Three Olympics. We won two of the gold medals. I don't know if y'all knew that, but it's very exciting times. Now we're moving Olympics and rugby and Olympics. Of course, I have my doubts we'll win another gold medal.
I don't foresee us winning a gold. But, hey, look, it's there. It's there. Yeah. Anything can happen. It's an any given, I guess, whatever day. Not Sunday or Saturday or Friday. Yeah. It really depends on what day they were
playing. Yeah, pretty much. There you go. But, I would like to see more guys brought in from the club from the college level into USA Rugby.
Exactly.
But they are recruiting some athletes, and I do appreciate that. Yeah. So let's hope that they do well, and they did pretty well. They finished fourth in China.
Yeah,
in
the Hong Kong tournament. Yeah.
So that was pretty good for USA. I mean, I'm very proud of our boys, and I look forward to, of course, USA and Ireland game.
I've already bought my tickets. Nice. I was already ready to go.
Of course, I'm going to have a tough one because Ireland's the international team that I pulled for.
Hey, look,
Irish background to myself.
To be honest with you, I'm a big, the All Blacks in Ireland are probably my two favorite teams internationally, and then everybody else kind of dissipates into it. Fiji is fun to watch for sevens, that's the All Blacks of sevens, but that's a whole other discussion for another time.
Yeah, there you go.
It's good to be able to at least know that you see an active development in rugby. I think one of the things that people need to realize is that I do believe rugby has a potential to be part of the big three, well, big four, I guess, because nobody's really going to overtake football here in the States or basketball or baseball, but we can hopefully eventually get to that point where hockey stays regional.
Yeah, we can overtake hockey.
Right! Nice. Yes. Riggedy row, but
yeah, because in the South, we don't have much hockey down here.
It's not really too hot.
Spring training's terrible. All the drownings and such.
God! He couldn't walk on water! He's not Jesus. He might have the long hair, but he's not Jesus.
And we digress.
But no, that's excellent. Appreciate it.
So what's our next point?
Okay, moving on. Yeah. Next, we got game for this upcoming weekend to talk about. Also, we get a chance to talk with Shaw head coach Tim Falcon. Guys, stay tuned and we'll be right back. I'm here with the head coach of Archbishop Shaw High School Rugby, Tim Falcon. Mr. Falcon, thank you for being with us today.
Sure, how you doing today?
I'm doing very good. Just to start off, how did Shaw Rugby start?
We started the program about 10, 11 years ago. I'd been playing rugby. I started at LSU back in the late 70s and once I got back here, my sons were going to Shaw High School. My oldest son was going to Shaw at the time. And a couple of us players from New Orleans decided that we had we wanted to get some high school rugby going. So I took on the Shaw program and recruited some kids and got them playing. And then at about the same time, Brother Martin, Jesuit, and Rummel, and also at the time they had De La Salle, were trying to incubate some programs. So we had a little synergy going where, you know, guys my similar age had kids that were starting to come up through the ranks, and so we kind of all started the programs at the various schools.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, how did you feel that your rugby experience helped influence your coaching and to make you such a great coach?
Well, I'll say I'm a coach. I wouldn't put the great in it. I just get out there and work with the kids. But, you know, it's invaluable. I mean, I played for a long time and played at LSU, and when I came home to New Orleans, played for the New Orleans club. And, you know, by participating, obviously, you get to learn the game better. I'm a forward. I played prop, you know, all my life. And so that's my real bailiwick. And I've been real fortunate to have some good coaches come along that have helped me with the backs. So the teamwork's been really helpful.
Okay. Excellent. Is there a philosophy that you try and present to your team or in the way that they play?
You know, we're kind of starting out with a philosophy, just make sure they're having fun. I mean, rugby's a game where, unlike a lot of the restrictions of other sports and some of the ways it's handled by other coaches, you know, we want to make sure that the players that come out enjoy the game, but also understand that once they step on the field, it's their game. You know, nobody's going to be telling them what to do or how to run the play, and it's, you know, they've got to be creative and they've got to make things happen. And, you know, in order to have fun, you want to win, and in order to win, you got to be fit and you got to show up at practice and got to have some discipline. And so, you know, the philosophy is to make it enjoyable and then to work hard so that you can win and make it more enjoyable.
No, that's excellent. And these are characteristics, discipline, et cetera, that you've been able to use to be able to build such a strong program. Is there other concepts that you felt that you look for in your players to help you continue such a strong program at Shaw?
You know, I mean, we are really inviting all players, all body types, all levels of athletic ability. You know, we want to be inclusive. We never turned a kid away, and every time we, you know, as many kids as come out, we try to create rugby opportunities for them to play. You know, so and then we take the kind of kids where they come from and let them help understand the rigors of rugby and what it's going to take to get it to a certain level to be able to play, and really encourage them to work on their fitness. You know, we only practice 2 days a week, as typical with rugby, so they really have to be self-disciplined and try to get the fitness on their own. And some of them take it up better than others, you know, but it's just a challenge for all of them, and they all understand that the more fit they get, the more fun they'll have playing rugby.
Okay, no, that's excellent. Now, you guys have had a great season. You guys have been undefeated in Matrix play, and I know you guys had a really good matchup out at the Dallas Jesuit tournament. Now, what have been some key players for you guys that have led to the success that you've had this year?
You know, kind of across the board, this team we have this year has been, I like to say, in the works for a few years now. We've had players that have been, you know, for 3 and 4 years with us. You know, so now we're not all seniors, but we have a pretty high percentage of seniors on the team. But not just seniors that are on the team, but seniors that have been playing for me for, like I said, 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some athletic kids. We got some kids that have been coming over from football. We got some crossovers and some wrestlers. So, you know, their athleticism and just the bulk has really, really helped us. You know, I hate to pick out an individual because I'm just everybody's playing so well and working so hard that, you know, the whole team has come together and they're all playing really, really good rugby.
Okay, no, that's really good. Now, obviously, whenever having such a strong season, discipline and focus is priority. What have been some factors that you felt that you've been able to keep the team focused on the overall goal?
I think the fact that we have not won a state championship yet, You know, in our history, we, you know, we struggled with numbers for the first 3 or 4 years, just trying to get enough kids to come out and play. And you know, the Shaw school enrollment is not as big as some of the other schools, and we weren't getting some of the other athletes coming out. But so we, you know, we were struggling to get enough to field the team as far as 15 for the first few years. And then we kind of got over that hump, and you know, we started having you know, full sides, you know, up to two sides, and so we had the numbers were good, and then some of the athletes that were playing other sports started coming out, and so we started playing a lot better and being more competitive. I mean, in the early years, we were just getting beat pretty bad by everybody, but we were still being competitive and just trying to hang in there. And then, you know, as we got better for the last 4 years or so, 5 years, we've been real close. We've been in the semifinals and the finals, and so the real motivation for this club, who's kind of seen that progress and have been around, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years and have not won the state championship, I think has really motivated them to step up and, you know, to work hard so that they can finally get their goal.
Oh, excellent. What do you guys think from, obviously the difference from last year where you guys played, lost in the championship against Jesuit last year, what do you think it is that you guys need to work on to be able to turn that corner this year and be able to end this year with a championship?
You know, last year we were leading at halftime against Jesuit in the state championship, and in the second half they had some really excellent players. I think a couple of them are playing up at LSU now, or more than a couple. So they had some really strong players. They had some seniors that were really talented, and I think defensively we let down our guard in the second half, and so we've worked real hard to make sure we don't have those defensive lapses this year, and that we finish the game. I think the other thing is to make sure we finish through the second half.
Okay, that's excellent. Now, we know that Rugby Mag had you guys ranked 20th in the nation this year. How do you feel that the success that you guys have in the national recognition that you guys have resonates to the growth of rugby here in Louisiana?
I think it really helps. You know, over the years, Jesuit, Brother Martin, Rummel, you know, have had strong teams and have gone on to the national tournament and have had the national rankings. I think they've kind of been doing those over the last few years. So, you know, certainly gets the kids excited when they can talk about being a top 20 team. So, you know, it helps to know that they're looking at the teams across the country, and that teams in Louisiana are competing regularly on a you know, very competitive basis at the top.
Excellent. You know, and you guys have traveled. I know you've had your rugby experiences, and being able to see how rugby's grown around the country, where do you feel that Louisiana stands in comparison to a lot of the other power programs like those in California or the Midwest as far as high school rugby is concerned?
Yeah, I mean, we're, you know, still a little bit geographically challenged, as always, with rugby in Louisiana. But initially in the South, Louisiana, we started rugby, high school rugby, probably before all the other southern states, just to start with that as far as the region goes, and pretty much dominated the regional tournament for the first few years. But then there was a team in Charlotte Catholic out of in North Carolina and some of the Florida teams, and so rugby has grown. You know, I know in Florida the numbers are, you know, very large. A lot of teams have been mid and southern Florida more than the Panhandle. But so we've probably fell back a little bit along those lines. But now in the last couple of years, we got our numbers coming up. We got more teams forming, and so we're in the middle of the pack. I think organizational wise, we're going to be as organized and as you know, poised to move forward as much as any state in the union. But, you know, talent-wise, we're still, you know, again, geographically and with the numbers are not quite there where some of the other programs are.
Okay. Do you feel like the future for Louisiana Rugby has a strong following as far as being able to continue to produce these athletes and being able to transfer them over from other sports like soccer, wrestling, or football?
And we're very excited about the prospects for rugby coming up. And we think, you know, hey, some kids are just going to choose to play rugby because they see it as the sport they like. Other ones will see it as a sport that can help them improve in the, you know, football, for example. They think they can hone their skills and get better at football. So, you know, and I think just kids enjoy the game. They enjoy the way it's being coached, and they enjoy the freedom of, you know, if you're an offensive guard and you never touch a ball in football, all of a sudden they're throwing a ball at you and you get to run with it. So those things are good, and that shows the prospects for us growing the sport in Louisiana are there. The other thing is, especially we're working in the inner city of New Orleans, and a great example is the Lake Area Charter School, which was played Brother Martin last night for the semifinal. So they've gone from a program that didn't exist 2 or 3 years ago, and now they're, you know, playing for fourth place, third and fourth place in the state. And these are all inner city kids that, you know, have volunteer coaches that have given them a sport that, you know, gives them a lot of discipline, gives them something to work for, and actually I think 3 or 4 of their kids are playing in college right now. So and most of the charter school principals and the people we talk to are very interested in trying to get programs going because they see it as a great way to take kids and keep them busy and get them into a, you know, another community of people that care about sport and care about kids. So really the challenge is going to be getting the coaches and the teachers in that are qualified to take these clubs and form the clubs. And that's what we're working on now in Louisiana to try to be able to grow the sport by attracting, you know, teachers, coaches, people that want to be involved to help fill the need where the kids are there, the schools want them to play. We just got to get the administration and the coaching capacity to grow it.
Mm. No, excellent. Do you feel that there should be more programs being developed here in Louisiana to be able to assist in increasing the more coaches so that there's more available for high school?
You know, yes. And what it's going to take is just, you know, the rugby community is just going to have to put its head together and let's all work to see how do we make things happen. And, you know, one of the things I propose is, wherever there's a school that says they want to have a rugby program, let's go search for a college graduate somewhere with a teaching degree who played rugby and is interested in coming down to Louisiana or is in Louisiana and wants to help start a program. You know, there's a good thing about rugby. You know, a lot of guys continue playing on through college. And, you know, when they graduate, they're all looking for a club to play for, a place to go, and to keep giving back. So we just need to facilitate, you know, guys with degrees and find the schools that want to have the programs and get them going.
Okay, excellent. And just before we have to let you go, is there anything else that you'd like the general audience to know about Shaw Rugby?
You know, it's just, I think Shaw Rugby is just an example of, you know, you start up a program and you're competing and you're kind of getting your tails kicked for a while and you've got to struggle to get the numbers. But I think through perseverance and, you know, the help of, you know, we've got some really good coaches, Dave Buckingham and Casey McIntosh, who's with me this year, and Sammy Fournier that helped me over the years, and other guys, Ryan Andre coached with us for a while. I mean, we've just had some real dedicated coaches that volunteered their time and some parents. You know, I think the parent organization is great. They, you know, they really see that their kids are having fun and it's a good sport where they're, you know, they're getting more fit and they're getting disciplined, and so they're very supportive. And now that we're having the success, it's, you know, it helps. You know, when last night, I don't know if you heard the score, but Shaw beat Jeff at 49-0. You know, which is a big turnaround for us, and mm-hmm. So everybody at the school is gonna feel good about that. So, you know, it's just a program that hung in there and worked hard, and the kids worked hard, and now we're enjoying a little bit of success, mm-hmm. And we hope to keep growing the program.
Congratulations. Well, Coach, thank you for coming on the show. Best of luck with you guys in the championship round tomorrow. Can you tell us a little bit where you guys will be playing at, just so people can know?
Yep, it's going to be the day of rugby. It's going to start at 10 o'clock. There's games all day long. There's New Orleans has 2 men's club matches scheduled, and there's the Division II and then the Division I finals for rugby. It's going to be at Pan Am Stadium in City Park. The game started at 10. Our game against Brother Martin for the championship will be at 6 o'clock. So everybody that's interested in rugby, come on out and check it out. And I also want to congratulate you on what you're doing. And I think it's a great concept, and those are the kind of efforts that we need. So anything we can do in the rugby community to help you with your program, let us know.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And thank you again for coming on the show. Hopefully we get the chance to be able to talk to you again.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Welcome back, guys. We're reaching our final segment of the day. I know I was not ready for it to go away yet.
Yeah, I'm sorry to disappoint y'all.
Hey, you know, it's rough. It's rough. It's been great having you on here so
it's
far.
It's been fun. It's been fun. So hopefully be back here if I get invited again.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But first, now we're going to just go over the games that we have coming up for this weekend. And it is a plenty. You see the list there, Hunter. It's quite a bit.
Yeah.
All right. So, starting off, we'll start with high school as we normally do. We have a day of rugby going on at Pan Am Stadium again. Another one, we had this a month ago. We got 5 games going on this weekend. 2 of them being for the high school championship and the consolation matches, and then some tournament matches going on after that. Starting up, we'll start with Jesuit Blue versus Audubon. Jesuit just lost to Shaw earlier yesterday. And Audubon is a team that I've watched play also at the day of rugby last month. Patrick played for Audubon. And
yeah, a former Baton Rouge player. He was the high school guy that played on the men's club, and actually he was pretty good.
He was fast. He was a fast, quick little guy.
Except when the big guys caught him, I feared for his life.
Don't hit him directly. Yeah, he's fragile.
So I'm excited about it. Hopefully Patrick with his year, he's had several years of rugby behind him, his leadership, maybe Audubon do good. In fact, just because he's on there, I'm going to pick Audubon to take this one.
Pick Audubon? All right, awesome. I also will be taking probably Jesuit on this one. Yeah. I feel like their anger is going to come in. I feel for Patrick. I want them to win, and Audubon's been getting better and better each week. But I think that Jesuit Blue will probably be able to move from this one, albeit they haven't been that great this season, but I think on this first game they should be able to take it. My prediction for the score will probably be a close one, 24-17 Jesuit Blue in this first match. What do you think?
I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna say 17-12.
17-12, there we go. It is set. Second game on the docket, we'll have Jesuit Blue versus Mississippi. They're Mississippi being a team out from the Mississippi Gulf Coast, another mixed team, club team. I don't think Jesuit Blue is probably going to do as well. I think coming off of 2 games, coming off a game back-to-back, and I do feel Audubon will end up wearing them down. I think Mississippi will probably end up taking this game.
They probably will. Coming in fresh like that, like Jesuit having to play back-to-back, that's going to be tough. You know, they have 25-minute halves.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, that's 50 minutes of rugby, and then kind of have to turn around and step right back on the pitch. Yeah, that's going to be tough. So Mississippi may pull it out in the second half of that game just because of wearing Jesuit out. But who knows? I mean, Jesuit's a bunch of young fit little guys.
You know,
so,
and
I mean,
they have the experience behind them. At least, you know, there's a program experience behind
them. So this is Mississippi's first year? Am I correct?
This is Mississippi's first year.
Okay. Yeah. So, and maybe Jesuit's experience might take it over and they'll pull it off. I'm actually going to go with Jesuit on this one.
Okay. I'm going to take Mississippi on this one and get at odds on this one.
I can't go with everything you say.
Hey, you listen to what I say. You do what I tell you.
I refuse.
All right. Well, I can't go against that.
Well, what's your score prediction?
I expect Mississippi. I expect this to be another close game. Mississippi hasn't been too great this season. Look at it as another probably 17-12 game like you predicted for Audubon.
Well, I'm gonna say a very low scoring game just because. The Jesuit's gonna be a little tired coming off the. They'll be warmed up at least. But it's a low scoring game. I'm gonna give it a 10-5.
10-5, perfect. All right, next we have Audubon then playing Mississippi. Now this is where I feel Audubon will have the advantage on it. Audubon's been able to, like I said, increased in play each week. They've gotten tougher and tougher. They'll have the rest on their side, and even without it, I actually think Audubon's a better matchup against Mississippi. I honestly, you know, Patrick leading the way. I talked with one of their head coaches, Paul, off to the side, and he said Patrick's been leading the way for that team. So our Baton Rouge men's influence is assisting them.
Well, I mean, a guy coming from, I mean, he was a high school player and he walked straight into a men's club and he was able to compete. Very well. He's an athlete. So, I mean, he has experience playing men's club level, you know, so that's something said for him, you know. So, as a leader, I believe he's going to take him and win that game very easily.
I agree with that one, too. Finally, we got one that we agree about. I actually think this will probably be a fairly dominant game. I'll give this one to Audubon 48-7.
All right, that's a pretty good. A pretty good prediction. I'm gonna go. Let's go 28-12.
All right, awesome. Now, we enter into the high school championships games. This will be the second match of placement for third and fourth. Go again.
So, that was a tough trip for New Orleans to make, but to,
actually,
to
they came down here.
Well, to lose the life.
Oh, you lose the life, yeah.
But that was the only loss, so I really look that...
This is recording still.
I really looked at Renegades.
Hold on. That's not recording right now. Go play Central Illinois. They got into the red zone at least three or four times. They weren't able to score simply because of discipline and poor ball handling skills. But they were just smashing it in there. And now that they have time to be able to practice, get it under their belt, yeah. They've improved to get to this point. It'll be impressive. I know Jesuit White is a decent team, but they haven't had a great season themselves.
Right.
I look at this as a Lake Area team that will probably end up taking this game.
Yeah, I mean, being out of their second year and they've gone this far, you know, these guys are hungry. I mean, they're probably young and fit and ready to prove themselves. So I'm going to give it to Lake Area as well.
All right. I looked at this. My prediction for this game is going to probably be a dominating game. I look at it as a 48-17 game, Lake Area's favor. Just athleticism and speed on the outside. And plus, their fly half. I don't remember his name. Actually, I never got his name. But I watched him, and just he's a very smart kid, knows how to place a ball. Good coaching from Nick Conte. But, yeah, I look at his 48-17 game.
Okay, I like that prediction. I'm going to go 35-7 on this one just because I think that Lake Area is going to do some really good ball movement and and I think they're going to shut Jesuit down on the defense.
All right, cool. Excellent. Now we're going to finish out with high school with the championship game. These are the two powerhouses of Deep South and mainly of Louisiana high school rugby. We got Shaw playing up against Brother Martin, two New Orleans former players who are coaching these teams in Tim Falcon and Gary Giepert. Shaw has been ranked number 20th in the nation. Brother Martin has been nipping at the heels. Shaw having the undefeated season. Brother Martin only lost going against Shaw. I look at this as a game for the ages. This is the one that will probably take it to the mat, take it to the nails.
Yeah,
is that the colloquialism?
Yeah,
it's somewhere like that. But
wow, this is going to be a great match.
It'll be a great match. Yeah, there we go.
I wish I could see this one because I really think it's going to be an awesome match. But you know, both programs are awesome. You know, and I tell you what, Shaw being nationally ranked, you know, they're hungry. You know, they want this. You know, it's gonna be a tough game. It's gonna be a close game, but it's gonna be a high scoring game. I think. You know, I think that Shaw's going to pull away. Let's go 48-42. How about that one?
I can actually agree with that. I also think that Shaw's going to end up taking this game. I think, you know, they've been in this position before. They were there just last year, and they felt like they lost it in the second half.
Yeah.
I think Shaw takes it, eats it on this one. I'll take the score just a little step down. I still agree 48, but I think Brother Martin will only get 35 in the game.
Okay, that's good.
So it'll be a close game. Probably come down to the last try.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, moving on to college, we only have one game. We have ULL facing Tulane for the West qualifier for the Deep South Conference. Now, these are two teams that are natural rivals. They've played each other twice already. Tulane took the first game. ULL took the second game. Even talking with Boyd, he spoke about how the growth of his players helped make the turnaround for him. These are both, you know, great teams, highly ranked as far within their division. I think the only catcher that you'll have on this one, ULL is coming off a spring break, and I think Tulane had theirs a little bit earlier.
Hmm.
Boyd mentioned this in the interview earlier. But I still feel for, you know, ULL. ULL, you know, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I'll tell you what, ULL, I really like them. And they're kind of like our little brothers. You know, we got a lot of guys playing for Baton Rouge that came over from ULL, you know, and we play them twice a year.
Yeah.
And so we have a real good camaraderie with them. And I tell you what, they're tough little guys, man. And
I'm
saying little guys. Younger guys, yeah. A few of those guys a lot bigger than me. But
when I was great.
But that is going to hurt them coming off spring break because those ULL guys do like to have fun.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to come, and Boyd's going to get them in shape before that game. And this weekend's going to be tough. But I tell you what, my heart lies with ULL. I'm going to have to pull for them.
Hey, look, I got to go with the Cajuns to pull with the Raging Cajuns on this one. So, you know, I think ULL is going to be able to scrap this out. I remember playing them, I think, early in the fall, and you know they had a lot of new guys, but they were scrappy. You know, they wanted to play, they were athletic, yeah. And I felt like they have a really good opportunity to take something and move it forward. I do think ULL is going to be able to win in this tiebreaker, let's call it,
yeah,
of a game. And yeah, considering the magnitude of it, I think he'll be able to help it. I look at ULL probably taking this game. It'll be a close game, probably 35-28.
I like that one. I really do. I mean, Tulane has a great program. I'm not going to take it away from them. They're doing a lot of great things, and it's going to be a lot tighter game. I think it's going to be within a try maybe. And it's be about, I'm going to say 35-28.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Now we'll move into the club, and we actually got a few games this time. Women's season is just starting. So April 6th is going to be whenever we get the chance to be able to talk with some of the girls. We talked with Chicken last week, and she told us a little bit about it. We have Baton Rouge women actually go, and also New Orleans women, heading over to the Round Robin in Houston. They'll be playing, it'll be involving Baton Rouge women, Houston area, NOLA Half Moon, and the Dallas Diablos for this game. What do you think? You know, these are our sisters over here. Sorority, almost style sisters over here.
Well, I've been watching the Baton Rouge women play, you know, and they got a lot of new young girls, but they are just fast as heck, you know. And Chicken's doing a good job coaching them right now. Skip with that Baton Rouge
Skip
team.
Skip Parr, yeah.
Yeah, he actually helped them out as well, coaching them, showing them some forward stuff. And mm-hmm. They're looking really good, you know. I think they could come into this little round robin ready to play. And, of course, New Orleans, you know, they're always a tough team, you know. They have some experienced ladies out there, and they got a lot of young girls that are just fast as heck. So it's going to be tight. And I don't know anything about the Dallas Diablos. Wow, they're actually, I'm sure they have a great team. Any of the teams come out of Dallas, you know, they always have a really, really tough bunch of girls coming up from Texas, you know. Yeah. So it's going to be a hell of a tournament, round robin. I'm going to have to go with our Baton Rouge girls on this one.
Got to swing it that way. Yeah, we got to keep the loyalty. Keep it within the city. Because honestly, I'm the same way. I don't really know too much about Dallas Diablos. I know the NOLA Half Moon have always been, you know, have been very competitive. Right. I mean, they have a great program in New Orleans. So, but obviously, they face any of the same troubles as it is with dealing with any women's team, but they're coming up. And Island, Houston area, again, it's a Texas team.
Oh, it's
Texas
a Hark. Oh, yeah, fair. Hark girls, they're good. And actually, I think Hark's had Baton Rouge's number last couple times they played, so they're going to be hungry, you know. I think the Baton Rouge girls, a lot of them haven't got to play yet this year, and I talked to them, you know, and a lot of them are really raring to go.
They're raring to go.
But it should be a great tournament, a little round robin. I'm gonna have to go with Baton Rouge winning it, and Hark right behind them.
All right, perfect. All right, next, we in the men's division, we'll start off with Shreveport going up against Oklahoma City. I talked to Drew a few weeks ago. It doesn't look like Oklahoma City has been that great this season. It's pinned on the poorer side, but right now they're trying to fight to get that Sweet 16 spot from Frisco.
Yeah.
Shreveport goes into Oklahoma City. They've just been dominant this season. Their only loss has been against Frisco back in October.
Right.
They seem like they've been a strong team. They've been able to dominate. They took out Dallas Area Rugby Club last week, 68-0.
Wow! Yeah.
So,
well, Shreveport's. I mean, a lot of the same guys been playing for years and years, you know. But they're just tough. I mean, forward strong, you know, cock strong, if you will. but they're gonna come in there and playing tough, you know. Oklahoma City, they're always a tough team. All those Oklahoma teams, every time I've ever played any teams from Oklahoma, they've just been tough as hell.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be a forward dominant game, I'm sure. But I'll look to see Shreveport taking this one, of course, you know, because they have been dominant this season, you know, and they're our in-state brothers, so let's hope they can take this one home.
Yeah, I agree. I think Shreveport has this game in the bag. I think the chance of being in the Sweet 16 rises above any of the issues that they could have going with the Oklahoma City Club.
There you go.
I look at this as probably another big dominant game, probably a 55-7 game. Hmm. I don't really expect Oklahoma City to do that great.
Okay, well, I'll go with that one. 55-7. I'll go with that score. I like Shreveport to dominate.
All right. Next up, we have New Orleans D1 going up against Atlanta Renegades at home.
Yeah.
This will be also done at the Day of Rugby or Gretna Field. No, it will be done at Day of Rugby. You know, turf field. We watched New Orleans play a couple weeks ago against the team from New Jersey, New York, Monmouth.
Yeah, that's actually a New Jersey team. But yeah, they actually New Orleans D1 is doing very well this year. They're dominating it. They lost to Life, but that was a hard travel. And I really think New Orleans is gonna do well against the Renegades, because Renegades are traveling down there, you know, and New Orleans is almost unbeatable at home. So I think they're gonna take this one for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Last time New Orleans played the Renegades, they put it to them. This was about 3 weeks ago that they put it to them. So I kind of built up that confidence, and I think D1 is starting to get their role again. I think New Orleans D1 takes this game as well.
Yeah.
I think it'll be another big match. I think they'll, especially being at home, they'll have all their guys. Everything will be set for them. And I look at this to be a dominant game. I predict the score to be a 48-12 game.
I'd go with that. I'm going to go 60-20.
60-20?
Yeah.
Sounds good. We have New Orleans D2, Division II team, playing against Memphis here at home. Now, this is a New Orleans team that has kind of, they haven't been as good this season as they normally have.
They've been struggling a little bit. You know, of course, the D3 team moved up to D2 this year. They won the national championship last year, but this year they've just been having troubles with numbers, getting the same guys on the pitch each week, you know. But We of course, Baton Rouge, we played them a couple weeks ago to a tie. It was disappointing, but I tell you what, it was one of the best matches we played all season.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was. One of our more dominant matches where you could actually feel like there was control that was on us as opposed to just kind of running from behind.
But, I mean, New Orleans is a good club. I mean, I'm not going to take it away. Tripp's done a great job with them and everything. So I really think being at home, you know, I think they're gonna beat Memphis. Memphis has been tough all season.
They Memphis beat New Orleans last time they played.
That was up in Memphis.
That was up in Memphis.
But it depends on how Memphis travels. That's actually going to be the whole deciding factor. You know, Memphis travels tough. You know, Chris and his boys coming down. You know, I think they could possibly beat New Orleans. But this could be anyone's game. You know, I really think it's going to be a close match. But being at home, New Orleans, having all their guys, having a big rugby day like that, I think they'll have all their numbers out there. So I think New Orleans is going to take it by a try, maybe.
Okay. I'm going to go the opposite direction. I think Memphis knows that they have the second seed clinched, and I don't think they want to lose it by any chance. I think they want to be able to go into these playoffs, into these playoffs, you know, strong. And considering that their big team that they're going to be aiming to go against is Little Rock, to be able to at least hopefully outtake them, I think Memphis is probably going to come into New Orleans to probably beat New Orleans at home. I do look at it to be another close game. Last time it was 32-17, and I don't see it detracting too far. I don't think Memphis will score as much, but I look at this as a 24-17 game again. I think New Orleans will keep them strong through the first half, but I think that second half, Memphis might take the runaway on that.
That's a good one. I'm going to go, say, 29-25. I think it's a real close game. Both good teams, you know. I really think it should be a great game. I think New Orleans is going to pull this one out.
All right, excellent. Last game for the weekend will be Baton Rouge going up against Jackson. This one obviously is personal to us because this is our team.
It's our boys.
Last time we played Jackson, it literally came down to the wire. A last second score by James Canada that ended up turning the game. But this is a Jackson team that has played tough this season. They beat New Orleans this season, and even for us, you know, traveling up, especially after last week with traveling light, things always feel a little bit unsettled. But I think we'll be able to travel up to Baton Rouge, travel up to Jackson.
It's gonna be a good game. I mean, it's not a far trip for a lot of the guys. I'm pointing fingers at a few of y'all that don't like to travel, but it's not far to go. I mean, I'm one of them. I'm pointing myself now. But
four are pointing back at you.
But it's a two-hour drive for us. I think we're going to bring a decent side out there. Jackson is playing tough. They picked up a bunch of new guys, a couple foreigners. They're looking great, man. It's going to be a tough match.
It is.
And, I mean, we beat them by the hair on our butts last time.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a No Time that Left Try by Canada. I mean, you the man if you're listening. But it's going to be a close one. I really believe Baton Rouge is going to pull this one off. Another just close one at the very end, pulling it off maybe by a point or two.
Yeah, and I think really that's going to be the same thing. I do think Baton Rouge will be able to take this. I think, you know, for however the season goes, no offense to Jackson, love the guys, but yeah, I don't think we can pridefully let them come and beat us. I think just the history has gone so much that in Baton Rouge's favor against Jackson. Yeah. But it's going to be a close match. The guys are going to play hard. They're gonna bring it. Because I think they've tasted what it is to win. And again, you know, being able to say that we can beat New Orleans. And even for Baton Rouge, in my time since I played, since 2009, I think the closest I've come to beating New Orleans was a tie.
Yeah.
First one was in 2009, and the second one was a couple weeks ago. So
yeah, well, we used to dominate them. I'm just going to pull the old school. Back when I first started playing
back
rugby.
In the day when I was young.
No, but the Jackson's hungry, man. Yeah. They really are, and they're doing well. They got a good coach up there, so yeah. It's going to be a tough one. And I mean, I have to pull with Baton Rouge just because that's where my colors lie. But
at least you have some control on that one directly. So
yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be within a point or two.
Yeah, I really think it will probably end up being like a 17-15 game,
I'm going to go with that. I like that. That sounds about what the score, because last time I think it was 15-12.
It was 25-22.
Okay, it was a close one, though.
No, I'm sorry. It was 17-12.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It was 17-12.
So, yeah. Well, anyway, but look forward to getting on the pitch again. Having a good time. So we'll look forward to playing our brothers up there in Jackson.
All right, excellent. And you know what? I appreciate it. Hunter, thank you for being on the show with
us.
No
problem. I appreciate you having me, Gabe.
Oh, no, it's been great. You guys, let us know what you guys think. You can find us on Facebook, Gift Time Sports, or you can follow us on Twitter at Gift Time Sports. Send us an email, gifttimeproductions@gmail.com. Appreciate that you guys listen. We want to thank Boy Lejeune. We want to thank Tim Falcon. Thank Hunter Guidry again.
No,
you know, and everything for you guys. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and you guys take care. This is Bayou Rugby with Gift E, and we're signing out.
Bye-bye.